All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus, the third chapter, Exodus chapter 3, for the message tonight. Exodus chapter 3, and I'll begin reading in verse 1. So you follow along as I read the scripture. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack right in front of you, and so you may feel free to use it. But beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." I like things that don't burn out, don't you? Just think about that for a minute. Let's see, verse 4. "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them." Now here's my text, verse 10. "God said, Come now, therefore, and I will," what's the next two words?
Send thee.
God said to Moses, "I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." All right, now let me just stop right here and remind you that Moses spent the first 40 years of his life in Egypt. He was raised in the palace of the Pharaoh. You remember that he was rescued out of the reeds, out of the water, and he was raised by the house of Pharaoh. And he spent 40 years in the house of Pharaoh. And then you'll remember he saw one of his fellow Israelites, although he was raised an Egyptian, he saw one of the Israelites being persecuted, being beaten by an Egyptian soldier. And you'll remember he stepped in and he defended that individual. And in the fight, the Egyptian soldier was killed. Remember that? And so he was 40 years old when that happened. All right, so he had to flee. And so he went to Midian, to where his father-in-law was raising sheep. And he spent 40 years in the desert as a sheep herder. All right, now let's do the math. 40 and 40 is 80. So now here in this text, Moses is 80 years old. Now let that sink in. Moses is 80 years old. And in the 10th verse, the Bible says that God showed up in the burning bush, and God said to him, I will send thee unto Pharaoh. He's 80 years old. Did y'all get that? I will send thee to Pharaoh. Now, I'm going to entitle my sermon tonight, You Want Me to Do What? Think about it. All right, let's pray. Father, we ask your blessings on us tonight, and I pray that you will bless the message to our hearts. And I pray you'll give us understanding of what we're about to hear. But Lord, more than anything, I pray the Holy Spirit will apply the message to every heart. And Father, help us to realize the urgency of the hour and to realize the opportunities that we have to serve in this church. So Father, help us to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God has to say this evening. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Can you imagine the shock and the surprise when God said these words to Moses? And I can imagine that Moses was just absolutely floored. And I can also imagine that nobody was any more surprised than Moses that God would speak to him in the fashion that God spoke to him. The man is 80 years of age. When God called him to go back down to Egypt and to lead 3 million plus people out of bondage. Now, folks, that just blows me away. And I just when I read that, I just chuckled to myself. And I said, I can see Moses standing there at verse 10, looking at that burning bush and saying, what? You want me to do what? You want me to do what? Folks, the man's 80 years old. Now, we would not expect much out of Moses here for a couple of reasons. All right, let me get three to be specific. First, he is now an old man. He's 80 years old. Think about it. Revolutions are wrought by those that are in their youth, not by those that have made it to the milestone of 80. Right? You would never expect an 80-year-old man to go fill out an application to start a new career. You just wouldn't do it. The truth is, when we grow old, we tend to look for ways to slow down, not to embark on new adventures and to start new daring endeavors. A second reason why we might not think Moses would be able to pull off this huge matter is because he was in a position where soon, and probably real soon, his father-in-law would be passing off the scene. And he would stand to inherit his father-in-law's business and his father-in-law's lands. So in a short amount of time, Moses, when you think about it, would be pretty well set for life. He would be a wealthy individual. So who would have ever expected him to give that up and do something brand new with his life? But thirdly, the biggest reason, I think, that we would not expect Moses to do this is not just because he was an old man and not just because his future was set and secure, but the truth is, we would not be expecting much out of Moses. I mean, think about it, folks. 80 years, and he hadn't done anything yet. Right? I mean, 80 years old, and he hadn't done anything yet. So we would not be expecting much out of Moses, because the simple truth is, for most of his entire life, the man had not done very much at all for God. Oh, he had a life of privilege for the first 40 years, being raised in the palace of Pharaoh, and certainly had the advantage of being educated in the Egyptian schools, but then he got into some serious trouble defending a Jewish man who was being beaten by an Egyptian soldier. And so at 40, he had to flee and run to the wilderness and start at the bottom of the ladder. You see, folks, attending sheep for your father-in-law is not exactly found on the top 10 list of great careers. You with me on that? So, you know, he hadn't done much. So we might not have expected anything out of him when we read the story. So I think you can put yourself in the shoes of Moses, and you might understand why he would turn around to the Lord and say, "You want me to do what?" None of us would expect this to happen. And I dare say to you that even Moses himself was shocked that God would ask him to undertake such a major endeavor. Now, let's look at how this 80-year-old man accomplished this huge task that God asked him to do. I want to call your attention to three things. First of all, I want you to understand that this whole endeavor started with the call of God upon his life. Now think about that. This whole adventure started with the call of God upon his life. You see, while Moses was doing his job one day, he saw a bush on the side of a hill that was burning. Probably a little unusual, but he figured that it would soon fall to ashes and it would be over with. But it didn't. It kept burning. And so he thought to himself, "I need to go check this out. I will turn aside," he said, "and see this great sight." And it was through this event that God spoke to Moses and God called him to do what God wanted him to do. Now, I started thinking about that. What message could that burning bush have sent to him? What message could it have sent? could God have been saying, Moses, you once burned like that. Once there was a time when you were all ablaze against injustice and wrongdoing. Once your heart was burning with enthusiasm for right and for goodness. Once you said that things were not what they ought to be and that your people were abused, but now your blazing heart has died out. How often does something like that happen to God's people? I'm telling you, it happens a lot. We can look back through the years to when we were first saved, and we can remember a heart that burned with fire and passion to do the things of God and to serve the Lord. But now, all these years later, that fire is burned out. Years ago, I was preaching in a revival meeting down in the central part of Florida. It was one of the first revival meetings that I ever did. So it was a long time ago. And on the back row each night was a real nice-looking couple. They were both, it seemed to me, in their mid-60s. Nice-looking fella and a nice-looking lady sitting side by side. I figured they were married, and I was right, they were. And on Sunday they were there, and on Monday night, and Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, and Thursday night, and Friday night, they were there every night. And on Friday night, I gave the invitation, and during the invitation, the fella stepped out, and he came down the aisle with tears in his eyes. And he walked right past the pastor, went straight to the altar, and wept and cried before God. And after about 10 minutes, he got up from the altar, and he went over to the pastor, shook the pastor's hand, and the pastor motioned for one of his men, and then he turned around and he motioned for his wife, and she came forward. And I asked the pastor after the service, I said, what did he say to you? And the pastor said, he shook my hand and he said, preacher, I want to re-enlist. And I said, re-enlist, what does that mean? And he said, well, let me tell you this man's story. He said, this fella started pastoring when he was about 21 years of age. And he has been pastoring up in Ohio for 40 years, same church for 40 years. And he's been down here now, he retired. And he's been down here now and attending our church. He has never joined our church. And he has never lifted a finger to do anything around here, but he's here every time the doors are open. And I said, well, that's neat. I said, what's it mean he wants to reenlist? And he said, well, he joined the church tonight and his wife. And he told me that he wanted to preach. He didn't care where I let him preach. He said I could send him to the nursing home, or I could let him preach to the teenagers, or I could let him preach to the Super 60s group, the older folks in the church. He said it didn't matter to him where it was. All he knew is he had to re-enlist. And man, the pastor was excited, and he was excited. Amen. Folks, listen, stay at it for God. Don't let the years take out your fire. Keep your fire burning for God. God could have said to Moses through that fire, Moses, listen, you used to burn like that. What happened to you? But then the second thing that bush could have said was, Moses, why did your fire go out? Let me ask you that, Christian. At what point, what happened that you lost that fire? Oh, it used to be there. But at what point did you lose that fire? I have a wood-burning stove in my house, and I use it. When it gets cold, of course, I haven't used it in the last few days, but that's fine with me, but when it's cold, every day, I use that fireplace, and I have a stack of wood out back of my house, and some very kind and generous and sweet and wonderful people bring that firewood out to my house, cut, split, they stack it, it's seasoned, wonderful people, and they stack it out at my house. And I go out there in the mornings, and I go out there when I get home at 4 o'clock, and I go out there before nightfall, and usually bring in a couple of armloads full of that firewood, and I keep that fire going all the time. Many, many, many a night, about 5 o'clock in the morning. It depends on what time I go to bed at night. If I go to bed, you know, my wife cannot put firewood in that stove. Isn't that strange? I mean, it's almost like gasoline in the car, you know. She can't do that either. It's amazing. Now, we have a kitchen, but it's only because it came with the house. So it depends on what time I go to bed. You'll notice she's not here tonight. She better not be watching live. I'm dead. If she's watching live, I'm dead when I get home. Of course, you bunch of tattletales, I know you're going to be telling her. But many a night, I wake up about 5 o'clock, 5:30, and I go downstairs and load that thing up, get it roaring, so when she gets up, it's warm in the house. We turn the furnace way back. Hardly ever use the furnace. But you got to keep that stove going. You got to keep feeding it. You see, the nature of a fire is that it consumes what it is burning. But this attracted Moses' attention because the tree was not being consumed. Now, let me ask you something, folks. What did that bush possess that Moses did not possess? And the answer is God. That's the answer. You see, that bush burned because God was in it. 40 years earlier, he struck the first blow for the liberty of his people, but then ran for fear. Moses had no staying power. And now 40 years later, perhaps the bush was saying to the man, Moses, you need a heart that is once again on fire for God. And don't let your fire go out this time. That fire that burned in you years ago, Moses, can kindle again. Even in your old age. Oh, how I wish that some of us old Christians would get a burden back or get a burden for getting our fire back. Do you remember when you were first saved? Do you remember back when you used to? Do you remember when you used to go soul winning or when you used to work on the buses or when you used to tithe? Do you remember that? Do you remember when you used to come to prayer meeting? Do you remember when you used to sing in the choir? Well, folks, what we need is to get our fire back. We just need a heart that burns with the fire of God that nothing can extinguish. Second thing I want you to notice here. I want you to notice the call was not about Moses, but was about God. It was not about Moses. It was about the Lord. Now, this is the one thing I saw in this that really blessed my heart, and I want you to see it. What do you want me to do, Lord? wait a minute, you want me to do what? And Moses was shocked that God would want him at 80 years of age to step up and do this huge, monumental task. And can you blame him? Look at verse 11. Verse 11, it says, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" I mean, when God called him, Moses said, "Who am I?" But look at verse 12. Look at the 12th verse. It says, "And he said, Certainly," in other words, this he is God, "and God said, Certainly I will be with thee." You see, folks, God is basically saying, "Hey, Moses, the question is not who are you? The question is, who am I?" You see, the Lord said, "Who am I?" It's not a question about your age. It's not a question about your past failures. If you will simply put yourself in my hands, Moses, I will take care of your yesterdays, and I will certainly take care of your tomorrows. And every obstacle that stood before Moses was knocked down. Why? Because God knocked him down. You remember he stood and argued with the Lord, and he said, "Lord, look at chapter 4 and verse 10. It says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent." Now, here he's trying to argue with God. "Lord, I can't do this. I'm not eloquent. Neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." And you know, a lot of folks have said, "Well, Moses had a speech impediment." No. It's not a speech impediment. You got to remember that he grew up in Egypt speaking Arabic, but then he moved from Egypt over into the wilderness, and his family spoke a different language. And he had been over there for 40 years. Now, let me ask you, folks, how well would you do after 40 years of not speaking a language? You would struggle with it a little bit. And that's what he meant. I'm slow. He had to sit there and take the words from his tongue and put them into Arabic, and it makes you slow down. And that's what he meant. I am slow of speech. After 40 years, naturally, you would struggle with remembering the language. And so what did God say? God said, "Well, don't worry about that, Moses. I can fix that. Your brother Aaron, he still lives in Egypt. He has been speaking Arabic for 40 years that you've been away. I'll just let him be the spokesman." But the interesting thing is, as you continue reading Exodus, you find out that when Moses and Aaron stood before Pharaoh, not once did Aaron do the talking. Moses always did the talking. So God solved every problem. Folks, we need to remember who God is and let God use us as he wants to use us. And you know, Moses found out it wasn't easy. And he was opposed on every front. But folks, it's never easy to fight against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. You mark it down. Anytime you set out to do anything for God, the devil is going to oppose you. And man, that's what Moses found out. He got he agreed to do what God wanted him to do, got down to Egypt, and Moses faced opposition. He faced opposition from Pharaoh. You remember Pharaoh laughed at him and asked him, "Who is God that I should obey him?" Remember that? Well, I tell you, Pharaoh found out who God was. Moses announced the 10 plagues that would come upon Egypt, and soon Pharaoh found out that Jehovah God was greater than any of the myriad of false gods that had been created by Egypt's priest. you study those 10 plagues that God sent, you'll discover that each of the plagues was an attack upon the different gods within Egypt's system of worship. And the point is that those false gods were no match for the God of heaven. Folks, God is saying to you and to me, come, I will send you to Pharaoh. But if God sends you to Pharaoh, mark it down, God is going to help you defeat your Pharaoh. Where's your Pharaoh? You see, the truth is, Pharaohs are far more numerous today than any of us realize. Oh, your Pharaoh might be a family member who is trying to discourage you. Your Pharaoh might be your finances, or listen, your Pharaoh might be a call from the Lord to do something. You say, well, Pastor, I just don't know that I can do what God's asking me to do. You're looking at yourself. Don't look at yourself. Look at your God. Do you think God is going to call you to do something if you and abandon you? No. Oh, no. God will give you the strength to do what he wants you to do. Number three, here's a third principle I want you to see. Moses had to deal with enemies, but he also had to deal with friends. You know, anytime you go to do something for the Lord, man, the devil's going to come at you, and you're going to say, wow, I expected that. You expect the devil to come after you, don't you? But you don't expect your friends to come after you. But Moses found out even his friends tried to stop him. It's hard enough to deal with Pharaoh, but Moses had the hardest time dealing with his own friends and family. You see, it was the children of Israel that proved to be his biggest opposition. Can I remind you that these people had watched God destroy Egypt's false deities? Can I remind you that these people saw the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day? They saw that. Can I remind you that these people stood on the banks of the Red Sea and they watched as Moses took his shepherd's staff and touched the water with it? And they watched as the wind began to come and swirl and make a wall of water on one side and a wall of water on the other. And they watched as Moses took them across on dry ground. Think about it, folks. From the time of creation, that sea had laid there. And yet, when the way was paved, and a wall on this side and a wall on this side, and Moses took his staff and said, this way, folks. And when they walked down in, it was dry ground. These people watched that. Pray tell me how any one of them could have ever doubted the Lord. But they did. Oh, by the way, we've seen some miracles around here too. So pray tell me how any of us could doubt the power of God. Once they got on the other side, all they did was fuss and gripe and complain and doubt. They didn't like anything. Remember that? I mean, they got over on the other side, and when they needed food, God just sent them manna. When they needed meat, they got tired of manna, and they wanted some meat, God sent them quail under glass. Isn't that cool? Man, you'll pay $60 a plate for that in a restaurant. And God just sent it right down in their camp. When they needed water, God sent it flowing right out of a rock that was sitting on the side of a mountain. And yet Moses prevailed and he endured and he rose above every issue. On a couple of occasions, God wanted to judge the people and wipe them out for their unbelief, but you keep reading the Bible, and there's old Moses standing between the people and God, praying for the Lord to be merciful and spare them from annihilation. How did Moses do all these wonderful things? How did he do this? Man, the guy's 80 years old. He hadn't hit a lick for God in 80 years. God said, Moses, go get my people and bring them out. And he did. He was opposed on every end, but he didn't stop. Now, question, how did he do that? Well, there's one little verse over in Hebrews 11 that tells you how he did it. That little verse says that Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. Do you know what that means? Folks, that verse does not say that Moses saw the invisible. If something's invisible, you can't see it. Right? But he endured. In other words, he just kept going. He just kept obeying. He just kept walking, doing what God called him to do. And he endured as if he had seen God. Folks, that is a life of faith. That is just believing what God said he will do. And here in my text, God told him, Moses, I will be with you. And God was with him. And folks, I just happen to think that this is all here for our benefit. And I just happen to think, because I've got 40 years of experience, I've seen it, I have witnessed it with my own eyes, this is here for our benefit. God put this here so that you and I would understand God was with Moses and God will be with us if we just step out and do what God wants us to do. Oh, that we had faith in God like that. What is God asking of you tonight? Wherever it is, whatever it is, would you sit here for just a minute and look at the Lord and say, Lord, this is what you want me to do? Don't sit there and say, you want me to do what? No, say, Lord, this is what you want me to do? And then do it. I mean, just as it was with Moses, it might be shocking what God is asking you to do for him. It may not make a whole lot of sense. Just like I'm sure it didn't make a whole lot of sense to Moses when God called him at 80 years of age. But if you endure as seeing him who is invisible and just press on and do it, God can accomplish much with you. If we would just place ourselves in God's hands, even the unbelievable can be accomplished. So let me ask you, dear friend, what's the Lord asking you to do tonight? Is there a Red Sea out in front of you? Is there a misguided Pharaoh standing in front of you? Is there a doubting, skeptical friend? Shove it all aside and trust in the God who can divide the Red Sea. Trust in the God who can smash a Pharaoh to pieces. Trust in the God that can bring water out of a rock. Trust in the God who knows the future as well as he knows the past, whose strength is unmeasurable. Just trust in that God. And that God will guide your steps. That's the God we serve. I can see Moses standing there at that bush. I have lived this in my mind this week, knowing what I was preaching on. I have lived this over and over and over in my mind. I see that desert. I see that tree. I see that bush burning. And I see that old man walking over that bush saying, good grief, I'm 80 years old. I've never seen anything like this. Look at this. And then all of a sudden, God say, Moses, take the shoes off your feet, son. The ground you're standing on is holy ground. What do you think Moses did? I'll tell you what he did. He took his shoes off. And then God said, Moses, I want you to go down and get my people and bring them out. And I can see that old man standing there now. You want me to do what? That's right. I want you to go get my people and bring them out. What's God asking you to do? Is it join the church and get busy? What's God asking you to do? Is it join the Soul Winners Club and learn how to win somebody to Jesus? Hey, you got family. If you don't reach them, who's going to reach them? And we've got the statistics that show that once you learn how to win somebody to Christ, the first person you go to is family. And if you don't reach them, who's going to reach them? Think about that. What's God asking you to do? Don't stand there and say, you want me to do what? No, just, yes, Lord, and do it. And let God bless. If we're going to do something, folks, we better get with it. We're running out of time.